ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೈವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದಿರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವದೀರ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 11, ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 2, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 1. ಏತಾನ್ ನಿರ್ವಿದ್ಯಮಾನಾನಾಂ ಮಿಚ್ಚತಾಂ ಅಕುತೋ ಭಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನಾಂ ನೃಪನಿರ್ನೀತಂ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮಾನುಕೀರ್ತನಂ. ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ರಿಪೀಟ್. ಏತಾನ್
ನಿರ್ವಿದ್ಯಮಾನಾನಾಂ
ಇಚ್ಛತಾಂ ಅಕುತೋ ಭಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನಾಂ ನೃಪನಿರ್ನೀತಂ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮಾನುಕೀರ್ತನಂ. ಏತಾನ್ ನಿರ್ವಿದ್ಯಮಾನಾನಾಂ ಇಚ್ಛತಾಂ ಅಕುತೋ ಭಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನಾಂ ನೃಪನಿರ್ನೀತಂ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮಾನುಕೀರ್ತನಂ. ಏತನ್ ನಿರ್ವಿದ್ಯಮಾನಾನಾಂ ಇಚ್ಛತಾಂ ಅಕುತೋ ಭಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನಾಂ ನೃಪನಿರ್ನೀತಂ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮಾನುಕೀರ್ತನಂ. ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್, ಎನಿಬಡಿ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಚಾಂಟ್? Translation and purport. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material glorification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord. And then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. Thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successfully. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all previous other acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of Indological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitu workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in Padma Purana as being 10 in number. First offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. Second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is in different places. Lord may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think that the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting of the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him perfection, protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminath Namane. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichchata Makuto Bhayam Yoginam Rapanirnitam Hare Namanu Kirtanam. So right at the beginning, Shukadeva Goswami in the first canto also mentioned the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is a supreme thing to do. And now again in the second canto also it's mentioned, Hare Namanu Kirtanam. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after ways of great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all three people mentioned here. Those who are desirous of material enjoyment, those who want to be free from material desires, and those who are satisfied because of being situated spiritually. For all of them, chanting of the holy name will bring success. What to speak of people who are below this, who are very materialistic and who are materialist enjoyers of the greatest kind. For anybody, chanting of the holy name brings success, even if they want material desires satisfied. In Kali Yuga, whether you want to be a karmi, yogi, jnani or bhakta, chanting of the holy name is the only procedure recommended. Of course, as intelligent devotees, the devotees normally don't desire anything material, as Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport, because they are intelligent enough to understand that is temporary. So, using the holy name, they try to get a permanent benefit. Nobody will use a permanent, invaluable commodity and try to get something temporary, illusory, and non-existent. It's a very bad deal. If you get some instrument, commodity, which is permanent, spiritual, and the Supreme Lord connection, then you will try to get something as much invaluable with that, or something more than that. That is what is the meaning of a good bargain. If you try to use the holy name to get some material desire satisfied, it's a complete misuse of the holy name. If you try to holy name to just get some siddhi and perfections in yoga, it is again a misuse. But people in the world become so absorbed in their material desires that they want somehow the material desires to be satisfied using the best of items. Using the best of items. I don't use certain things to do certain things because I consider it to be not compatible. Nobody should use a earring or a nose ring as a small pin clip for the paper. Nice gold diamond nose ring, take it out and use it for clipping the paper and give it. It's correct use. Or use a hockey stick to play football. That's a better thing for you to understand. Or use a smartphone to actually bang a nail. Does it sound good? Now you're smiling because you're relating with it better. Because constantly we are holding the smartphone. So we never use the smartphone for banging the nail or digging your nose or scratching your back. We don't do that. Similarly, we should not use the human form of life for wasting it in material enjoyment. Neither should we use the powerful holy name of the Lord to achieve something of very low, insignificant value, which you will get anyway even without using this costly item. So therefore, it is mentioned that all these things are given to you, even a person with material desire, without material desire, or one who is wanting, beyond transcendental knowledge and liberation something, he should chant the holy name. But actually what he will get if he so desires is love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Getting love for the Supreme Lord, that is the highest commodity that the holy name can give. So here Shukadeva Goswami is saying, there is no doubt. It's the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are etc. etc. Constant chanting of the holy name. Sri Jiva Goswami also has mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also mentioned, all great acharyas have mentioned, consistent and constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord. These two are common principles mentioned by everybody. If you constantly chant and if you chant without offenses, then you will get love of God. It's the highest reward anybody in all the creation can get. Just imagine. That's why chanting offenselessly is very, very important. And chanting as much as possible is very, very important. We should never take it casually. We should never underestimate it. Because in Kali Yuga, actually nothing else works. And this works very easily. It gives you immediate benefit, and so many discounts are there in that. So therefore, all great devotees have glorified the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, you will see repeatedly glorification about chanting Krishna's names. Consistently appearing, consistently, repeatedly appearing. So Shukadeva Goswami is concluding, I mean not concluding, he is conclusively saying, there is no doubt about it, that that is the best way. And so we should follow Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, great personalities, Mahajanas like Shukadeva Goswami, what they say we must simply follow. We should not have a doubt, neither we should be in any way afraid of anything when we chant the holy name. Doubt is something, doubt springs always in your mind. Sometimes you become so stuck up with the doubt that you very seriously start doubting all these permanent aspects, Krishna, His holy name, devotional service, because we look at it in a material way. When you look at anything spiritual materially, you lose the spirituality of it. Because our material mind is constantly chewing up everything materially. We should be careful not to allow the mind to mundanize the holy name. Careful not to stop using the intelligence which is nourished by instructions from great acharyas, from guru, from Vaishnavas. We should constantly, that's why, read the Srimad Bhagavatam and see what great personalities like Prabhupada have mentioned. Your intelligence gets nourished. When your mind makes suggestions, it's destroyed, defeated by the intelligence. This is the actual process going on in your subtle body. Otherwise, if you don't nourish yourself, energize and rejuvenate your intelligence constantly with reading and Krishna consciousness, your mind will take over. Your mind takes over, you become very mental. When you become mental, although you know it is wrong, you still feel absorbed by it. Illusion takes over so fast, especially through the mind. And if our intelligence is not honed constantly with instructions, with reading, hearing, inquiring, discussing, then you will see the mind will take you away. And it's a great loss when you become mentally oriented and you have no help and your own intelligence cannot do anything. You become very, very helpless and you gradually sink. That is why one should very carefully keep the association of devotees from whom you can get a checkup, because of whom you will get reinstated while chanting the holy name. So therefore, doubtless way means don't doubt it. Asamshayam mahabaho manas durnigraham chalam. In many places Krishna used, undoubtedly you should know. Without doubting you should know. See. So, doubt, like we mentioned, is an indication of intelligence. But when doubt persists to such a great extent that in spite of getting clarification, you still are in doubt, then you are very mentally diseased. That you cannot give up that doubt in spite of getting enough reasonably convincing answers. Sometimes we stick to the doubt because we want to rationalize our disbelief, so that we can engage in material life, so that we can engage in material sense gratification. The mind is fighting the intelligence, so that you can have a basis for engaging in sense gratification, because the mind is disturbing you. I mean the intelligence is disturbing you with correct conclusions. So the mind resorts into hiding inside some hole, get away and rationalize something and sit somewhere in a corner. Therefore, I am doing this. You can watch your subtle body functioning very carefully. That's when we will become free from any authority, free from anybody, and commit offense. Once you commit offense, then you become more under the control of material nature. And this way people are driven to fall down from material, from spiritual life. See, that is why we will get doubts, all these things, we must immediately clarify it. Because once you doubt, and then you move away, your life will become full of fear. Doubtless and fearless occurs automatically. If you completely have faith in the words of the Acharya, you will be fearless. When doubts come, they weaken you and you will become fearful. You can actually experience this. When you are spiritually doing good, you have no doubt about what you are doing. You have full faith in the holy name. And then you become fearless. You are able to handle everything. When we become weak spiritually, you become doubtful. I have seen devotees who are in good standing over some small something become completely disturbed, doubtful, and reject everything together because of one reason. So great decisions they take which are completely against spiritual life and the teachings of Prabhupada and everything. They are willing to take all those decisions and completely tumble down. So dangerous. You see. So dangerous. That's why one must clarify his doubt always. Sometimes we are attached to some doubts. We don't want clarification so that the doubts will help us to conclude the things which we want to conclude in a particular way by our desire. So we don't want to expose our doubt because it will get defeated by argument. So therefore, we preserve that doubt. Nicely stroke and massage that doubt so that it can grow. And we find and look for people who have the same similar doubt and we go and befriend them immediately. So that we can grow our doubt, our suspicion, our un-Krishna conscious situation. This is the way the mind works. And you become friends with people like that, then you make your own group of people and you get strength from everybody else. In this way, collectively everybody goes down. The whole material world is like that. Whole material world is under the spell of Maya. Prabhupada uses the word. It is very deep meaning. If you are under the spell of Maya, you will never see the truth. You can never see Krishna as the truth. You cannot see the holy name as the truth. You will just start arguing, expressing doubts. It's very unfortunate. Nobody can do anything. How a person get completely entrapped by his own ideas, his own mental condition. So I have seen devotees, you know, rarely we have seen devotees who denied chanting the holy name. But we have seen devotees who stopped chanting because of some reasons. I see devotees chanting 32 rounds a day, 48 rounds a day, and suddenly not chant anything for another 1 year. Extremes. I have seen devotees who consistently struggle to chant 16 rounds, but they somehow make it. And they are very humble and they are not this and that, they don't, you know, think much, I am trying my best. These people are very successful. Very successful. Some of them shoot like a meteorite and then lose the fire. Yogi means, it says, yoginam drapanirnitam. That is, those people who are self-satisfied. Nirnitam means have decided the truth. Self-satisfied means they have got equanimity. We heard about Shukadeva Goswami is like that. He is self-satisfied. Dripanirnitam. And with great conviction, he is attracted to hearing the chanting of the Lord's glories. And he takes up Krishna consciousness very seriously. It is attractive. Krishna is attractive to even those who are liberated. He pulls them further beyond liberation. That's mentioned here. And Prabhupada giving a very extensive purport on why we must avoid the 10 offenses to the holy name. Every day we chant the 10 offenses to the holy name. Sometimes mechanically, without attending to the real meaning much. But if we very carefully think about it, apply it, and make sure that we don't commit any of the offenses, then our chanting will become very pure. When the chanting becomes very pure, it has immediate effect. A person goes through the clearing stage, the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the pure stage in chanting the holy name. In the clearing stage, he is chanting Namabhas. Means it's not the pure name. He has still got many contaminations. Anartha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of clouds hiding the sun. It is not that the sun is not there. It's the clouds which are much closer to you. Between the clouds and the sun is a much, much bigger distance. But the clouds are very close to you, just a few kilometers. But between the clouds and the sun, there is thousands and thousands of, miles of distance. Just like that, see, the clouds are very close to the eyes and don't allow you to see the sun. And you think there is no sun, it is overcast. Similarly, we cannot see the holy name, which is like the sun. When we have anarthas, anarthas are of three types. Asat Trishna. Asat means what is not true. Trishna means burning desire. Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. Krishna explains those who are in Rajaguna. Yeah, Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. Great desire. Asat Trishna. False desire for things of this material world. That's one great type of cloud hanging. All sorts of things. I want pleasure like in the heavens. I want that thing. I want this thing. So many things. And these type of anarthas, they cover our vision of the holy name. The holy name is always so bright, potent and powerful. But because of these anarthas, we are not able to perceive the holy name. When we constantly chant and engage in the service of the devotees of the Lord, pray to the Lord, and achieve pure chanting, then one can actually experience the power of the holy name. One can actually experience the holy name. That is why it is recommended that one constantly chant as much as possible. When we are not attending to certain other things, we can constantly chant the holy name. The more we chant, the more we become purified, the more we can see the holy name. Perceive the holy name. So, in the Bhagavatam, there is constant mention of this. Constant mention about the greatness of the holy name. And it is mentioned here that even akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. There also in the Bhagavatam a parallel shloka. Jagannath Paladev Shubhadramaiki. In the parallel shloka it is mentioned that a person has material desire, akama, sarvakama, he has all sorts of desires. Moksha kama, who has liberation. For all three of them, tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivra bhakti, he must practice. And everything will become successful for him. Same way here it is mentioned, have desires, no desires, want liberation, chanting of the holy name is the best and it will make it successful for you. So having faith in these words of the Bhagavatam, we should chant the holy name with great focus. See, Prabhupada said that I am, in his diary, he wrote that I have neither bhakti nor any scholarship. But I have faith in the holy name. Which is actually means that he has both bhakti and scholarship. If a person can get faith in the holy name, then everything is done for him. Everything is done for him. So when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, our attitude towards it, our faith towards it, towards the chanting of the holy name, is to be very nicely checked. Holy name can give you everything. It is Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto. Eternally pure. These are all the glories of the holy name. It's a great gift that has come down to us from Krishna. It's a real shortcut for anybody to go back to Godhead and get the highest price. So valuing the holy name and being associated with the holy name constantly, depending on the holy name, this is success in life. It's a success in life. If we can simply chant the holy name with great feeling and pray to the Lord, you have achieved the highest. So, Shukadeva Goswami's words should be taken very carefully and very seriously. He has asked us to do two things: constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, following the great authorities, and you will be successful without a doubt, and no fear will haunt you. It's a fearless way. Doubt, fear, these are the two impediments. One thing is doubt that we have discussed. Fear. Constantly everybody has got fear. Every small thing every day they get agitated out of fear. Will I be able to make it to the bus stand? Will I be able to get my check deposited? Will I get it? Will it happen? Every day constantly ragged by fear. Will the exam be easy? Will I be able to do nicely? Will I get good marks? Will I get the placement? Consistently you are harassed by fear. Suppose it does not happen like this, then what will happen? Then your mind takes you for a big trip. Mind takes you for a big trip and tells you all sorts of things that will happen to you if you don't. You imagine these things and you become more afraid. You, out of your own imagination, you become afraid even more. But nothing has happened till now. But still you are afraid. You have already imagined and you are afraid. You get ragged so much by your mind. Although things have not happened, you imagine it, fear it and suffer. So, in this way we consistently suffer fear. Bhayam dvitiya vinivesatasyad isha tapetasya viparyayo asmritihi. Because of the bodily concept of life, asmritihi, because of forgetting who I am, a spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, fear will always grip you. You should know that as free spirit souls, what all ways we are conditioned in this world. All this will disappear if you can simply chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. Because a devotee of the Lord becomes fearless. Prabhupada was a real fearless person. Two heart attacks on the ship, another stroke coming. He just went ahead and pushed the movement. He's 70 years old. 70 years old. He was walking in Calcutta. At that time they were building the Victoria Memorial in his younger days. And then he saw that big scaffolding. So as a small boy, Prabhupada climbed the whole scaffolding and went right up to the top. And when Prabhupada was taking a morning walk with his disciples many, many years later as a founder acharya of the Hare Krishna movement, he looked, the building is complete. He said, when I was a young boy, this was being built and I climbed the scaffolding right up to the top of the tower. Then devotees said, oh, you are a very fearless, bold person, Prabhupada. He said, even now, I am like that only. Was I not fearless and bold to be 70 years old and come to your country without anything with me? So Prabhupada is a clear example of a fearless person. Because of chanting the holy name purely,
became fearless. So when we chant the holy name and have faith, you'll have great confidence in yourself, become fearless, and you're ready to go and do service for Krishna in the worst challenging situation and circumstance. See, sometimes the devotees, as I move around here and there, I see what great faith, what great courage they have got to go to certain places and preach under so many opposing conditions. When we hear the stories of these people, we think that these persons are especially blessed to do these things. In India, preaching is not at all difficult to do. Everybody is pious, and if you do one program with 30 people, will come and give you a donation, and another 50 people will chant Hare Krishna very easily. But in a totally materialistic, demoniac world, to go and preach to people and make them take up Krishna consciousness, it's a great challenge. Very great challenge. Thoroughly materialistic people, making them chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books and become a devotee, it's a great accomplishment. Hats off to all of them. So, we are followers of Bhagavata philosophy, and a true Bhagavata, Srila Prabhupada showed us how to live life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a true Bhagavata, showed how to be a devotee. Following in those lines, we chant the holy name of the Lord. For us, holy name is everything. Nama bina kichu nai ko ara chauda bhuvana maje. In all the 14 worlds, there is nothing really true but the holy name of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, the jiva and the holy name are the only two substantial things in this whole universe. Nothing else is required. Nothing else is of substance. Only the jiva and the holy name are two substantial things in there. Everything else is false. That is why these two should get together. That is why we should chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. It's powerful. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki. 9 o'clock.